Welcome to Spider-Man and his amazing fans. I'm Bri Guy.
I'm Jason.
Today's episode, The Sins of the Fathers, Chapter 12.
All right, Bri Guy, it's not the penultimate episode, but it's kind of like that here this week, because the next one's a two-parter. We're going to do the two-parter as one show, of course, and we kind of treat those as their own story. So this is like the second to last thing in season three, and we get a character who, and note my use of the word character.
Okay, not villain.
We get a character who is been around the block a few times canonically in the comic universe. Jonathan Ohn, O-H-N Ohn, a.k.a. Spot, or the Spot in this iteration.
I've always wondered in comic books and movies, even in the rock outfit U2, when someone has a name of the something, the Edge, the Shadow, the Spot, does he make people, or do they make people refer to them as the? Like, if someone were to call you Spot, I'd be like, no, it's the Spot.
It's the Spot,
Or if they're like, Mr. Spot, would you be like, you can call me the.
I think that's a fair question.
Because one person called him the Spot, and he kind of referred to himself as the Spot. But I did want to bring to your attention right away, it's true, a real character in the comic books, and going to be in the new animated Spider
Across
film.
The Spider-Verse, yeah. And when is that coming out? That's later in 23 here, correct?
This summer. I think it's this summer.
Okay.
June 2nd. All right.
And Jason kind of right around the corner. Yeah,
It is less than 3 months now. So I was
Jason Schwartzman playing the character. Yeah,
exactly. Which is interesting because in this he's very British. In this iteration, he's very British, and also sounds more like Niles from Frasier than a character from a Wes Anderson film.
right.
Or many characters from a Wes Anderson film, really.
I think at this point, Jason Schwartzman himself is a character from a Wes Anderson film. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Right. It's just, he moonlights in a rock band and he acts and he's related to, you know, one of Hollywood's royal families. So that's really like, he checks all those Anderson boxes. Yeah.
Really does. So, do you want to quick go over what happened in this episode? It's not terribly complex, but
no, it's really not. We do have probably three stories going on, though, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, there's a few different threads that are moving along through this thing. That's for sure. I mean, we start with it kind of like at the tail end of last time's story, where we have Tony Stark on screen shutting down the interdimensional portal research, of which this Jonathan Ohn was apparently the head honcho, the man behind the proverbial curtain on that. And Stark's like, nope, too dangerous, we're shutting it down. And he's like, oh, my research, don't do it to
could
me.
You?
And he's, you know, he's carrying a box of his stuff in the rain, and it wasn't really raining, but it was like that. And just walking down the street, Kingpin's like, hey, do you live in this neighborhood? You know, do you want to make some money?
What's a guy like you doing in a place like this? Does he just drive around in his limo looking at Sad Sacks thinking that could be a villain?
Sad Sack scientists, Brian. If they're wearing a lab coat, then he pulls over.
And a briefcase that looks like it's made of lead. Yeah, that's the giveaway. Exactly.
Oh, man. But the Kingpin picks him up, and Kingpin's like, I really like the cut of your jib. By the way, I think your technology can make me loads of money. And the guy, and even at that point, Dr. Ohn is like, ugh, money.
Money. Yeah, just like, how dare you even say that word in my presence?
Money.
Money. Is that all you, that's all you think about? I know you're kind.
I do it for the love. Speaking of which, he immediately falls in love with the other interdimensional researcher that Kingpin recently hired, apparently.
Yeah, Dr. Lopez.
Was it Sylvia? I think it was Sylvia Lopez.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is
the quickest courtship I think I've ever seen.
It was it was literally love at first sight with them.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. and do you know she is a character in the comics?
That I didn't look into.
Okay.
I didn't check into that. Probably did you check into that? No.
No. No, because I thought up until you texted me 20 minutes before we hit the record button, I thought they just like were like, hey, we should make a character that has spots. And they're like, cool. And I didn't know it was in the comic book. So everything about this is surprising.
There really is. I can't think of a time in this series so far that we've had a character that was just like that
made up,
completely made up. There hasn't been anybody like that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It, like we said, it's the closest to the comic book, if mm-hmm. we want to call that canon.
Yeah.
Closest to the canon of all the stuff. But yeah, he literally sees her face, and I think we got a love theme in the background, a motif that sounds a lot like Mary Jane's theme when they lock eyes. Like it might as well have been, you know, Romeo and Juliet. But
yeah.
Pulling for these kids right away. You and I didn't agree on a whole lot in this episode, Jason, but I think we did agree that moved really quickly. All the love in this in this episode, while there was a lot, all of it was handled very quickly.
Yeah.
There was a wedding proposal, there was a profession of love, there was and spoilers, there was an ultimate sacrifice for love.
Yeah.
All in the span of 22 minutes. I mean, my neck still hurts from the whiplash.
It was quick, my friend.
Yes. Yes.
The two lovers decide to work for Kingpin. They create the portal thing, and he's like, this is so cool, look at this portal thing. And then he kind of accidentally gets sucked into it, like you might get sucked into a vacuum cleaner that's too big.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. like a really big shop vac.
Yes.
You know, like
exactly.
if you were, for example, really small, you might and you could fit inside a vacuum cleaner. That's sort of what happened to him.
That's what goes on. But he and then he and is that when he becomes the character in the mime costume when he first gets sucked in?
Yeah, yeah.
Does it happen that quickly?
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the spots go pew 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 pew. And then they suck onto him and he becomes the spot. And then he's like, oh, I gotta unmake all those spots, and he goes and he sucks up all the spots except for one, which they show us that is way up high in the sky above New York City.
Yes, exactly.
And then, and anyway, he goes and he's like, I don't want to work for the Kingpin anymore. And Sylvia's like, I think you better.
Yeah, and then a good idea.
He's like, nah, I don't think so. I'm just going to take my toys, go rob a bank and a diamond store. Or a jewelry store. We'll just come up with a different way to do this stuff. All we need is a little bit of cash. I think he says we just need a little capital.
Exactly. Yeah. And and that's where the British really came out. I just need a little capital in it, governor. Like it was, that was a very deeply British accent at that point. Much better than I just did.
Yes. Yes.
And, but it doesn't take much. I wanted to say, Jason, we'll talk about my issues in a moment, but you did mention, and we want to talk about this, at least I do, what those spots that he's thwipping all over the place are called. Do you remember what they're called?
Well, they were time dilation portals, and that was what they talked about last week too. I mean, it was same thing.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
It's just, they said it a lot in this episode.
Yes.
I thought, that'd be kind of a cool mid-2000s indie band, the Time Dilation Portals. They're like math rock is what I'm thinking.
Right. Math rock.
A lot of Death Cab for Cutie covers, and maybe a They Might Be Giants cover for good
that's
measure.
Funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that much different than Something Phonic. Right?
Right.
For the UW Oshkosh alum that are listening.
Oh, that's a callback if I've ever heard one. And then eventually he goes to talk to the Kingpin and say, nah. Oh, wait, Kingpin kidnaps the other scientist, the girlfriend.
Dr. Lopez, yeah.
And then Kingpin says to the spot, I'm pretty sure you still work for me. And he's like, no, I don't. And then this was a confusing moment when the spot confronts the Kingpin, kind of takes care of the henchman really easily with his portals.
Mm-hmm.
And then they show some guys with laser blasters pointed at his girlfriend, on the screen.
Which, by the way, they cock them like a bullet gun.
Right,
it goes
right.
Click, click, mm-hmm, pew. Mm-hmm. Right, sorry to interrupt, but I just want to get that out.
And then the Spot is like, well, you got me. Like, because yeah. He's like, I can't create portals over there to take their guns away. You know, like,
yep, they found my weakness.
Can't do that. If I'm looking at something on a screen, I can't make a portal there.
Exactly. Just not possible. Every Spot has his limits.
So then he sits on a roof and Spider-Man shows up and they fight and Spidey just whoops his spotty butt. Because the guy doesn't fight. He's a scientist.
Right,
He doesn't know how to do it.
And the suit doesn't give him any sort of super strength or anything.
No, he can do weird, you know, interdimensional portal stuff, but he can't. Nothing else.
Right.
And anyway, so Spidey punches him and he's down for the count and he's like, oh, I guess they're going to kill my girlfriend. And
yeah.
Spider-Man's like, what are you talking about?
And then what's really going on here? Like, they have a therapist section for it. Like, is that really the issue?
Is that really the issue?
How does that make you feel?
And then they go back to, and so they hatch this plan and Spidey's like, I'll play dead. You take me back to the lair. Mm-hmm. And then there's a pretty cool Spider-Man and Kingpin fight.
Yes. Which I was happy for because we get another fake out with an unmasking. And I wrote in my notes, is this just a thing every episode now? Mm-hmm. Like, is this just something that I should just get used to, Jason, and
it stop seems
complaining
like it, right?
about it? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah. just, it's the best way to cut to a commercial break.
It is. It is. And to make someone go, oh, for a moment. But right. his reaction, Spider-Man's reaction after he gets off the table and starts just throwing Kingpin around, he references Mark Twain, which I liked more than the unmasking. He said the details of my demise have been greatly exaggerated.
Right. Right.
The reports of my demise, whatever that, you know, kind of quote is.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And, yeah. And Kingpin's retort is, you'll wish they weren't. And then they fight some more.
Kingpin's retort is, afraid not.
Yeah, exactly. Nuh-uh.
But yeah. they fight for a couple of minutes, and then all of a sudden, was there like a news report or something like that? What happened where all of a sudden they were like, hey, wait, there's still a giant portal over the city. Maybe we should worry about that.
Yeah, I think it was on the news.
It was on the news?
They all went to it, yeah.
Right, yep. And they're like, oh, well, we need to take care of that then.
Right,
and
it's a threat.
And there's a bizarre team up there with Kingpin, Spidey, and the Spot, and
Lopez.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's in on it, right?
They're all like, but like Kingpin's agenda here with the Spot is to use it to kind of take over the world. So does he really? No, that's right, because he says the end of the world is bad for business. Right,
right. Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's no money, and that's smart.
Yeah,
smartest thing he's ever said. If the world is gone, if the world is gone, there's no money.
So they fly up in there. They fly up in this plane there, and because they're like, "Oh, if you get really close to the portal, and we can use this machine to kind of zap you up and make you more powerful, then you'll be able to close the portal."
Yep.
And that kind of works. And then they're like, "Ah, let's plug you into the plane because it's got big batteries." And he's like, "Oh yeah, that's working better." And then he's like, "I gotta go inside of it." And Lopez is like, "No, don't do it." And he's like, "Nope, too late. I'm gone." And then she jumps into his arms, and they both get sucked into it, and it's over. And Spider-Man is like, "Ultimate sacrifice." Wow.
Yep. Yep. And it makes him really think about what he has to do for the love of his life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
he should go in a TDP. The time dilation portal as well.
I like that you gave it. I like that you gave it an acronym.
An acronym.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just. I mean, it just makes me sound really cool. If we're being honest,
it
you
rolls
know.
Off the tongue too. The TDP.
The TDP. Yeah.
Uh huh. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Thanks. And that's kind of it, right?
That's
Spot and Dr. Lopez. That's their story,
right? Yeah. And then Spider-Man or Peter decides. Peter and Spider-Man are the same person.
What?
Peter is walking around at the end going, wow, they really loved each other. I guess you give up things when you really love each other. So I guess I'm going to give up being Spider-Man. And then MJ says, oh, by the way, I love you.
Yeah. Even though you always ghost me, it's kind of hazardous to our relationship. But I'm glad you're here now because I love you.
Because it turns out I love you. And then Hobgoblin Then there's the epilogue slash lead in to next time, mm-hmm. where Goblin says was he talking on a cell phone?
Yes, he was.
He was talking on a like prehistoric cell phone.
Or a cordless phone. I guess mm-hmm. it could have been either a cordless landline phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd have to look at a screen cap, but yeah.
But he's like, ugh, it's so good to have you in the Kingpin's organization.
And, yeah.
And
who's he talking to, you think? Who's the spy?
I don't even know, Brian.
Right.
I don't even know.
What's the name of the half-face?
Do you think it's Landon? Dr. Yeah. Landon?
Half
slug, half man?
It kind of has to be, right? Because we don't have Smythe anymore.
We don't know who else works for him, right?
Right, exactly.
We don't see him. We don't see anybody else with him ever.
His wife?
He's got this organization, the Kingpin does, but mm-hmm. Who has he organized?
That's the
question.
Who is he the Kingpin of? whose paychecks is Kingpin signing?
These are all good questions, right?
And I think some of them will be answered the next time we get together, Jason.
Tell me the things that you liked about this. We covered a couple of them already.
Well, the TDPs, the time dilation portals, mm-hmm. I thought they looked pretty cool. I liked that scene when Spider-Man went into a TDP himself.
And he was floating around in some spots and things. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he fell through a few of them, right? And popped out the other end. Yeah.
It was very like Looney Tunes, Daffy mm-hmm. Duck kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But mm-hmm. I liked the way that was animated because I thought they could have gone with the CG route, which we can talk about later. Mm-hmm. But they made it look very like sort of 70s. I equated it to like the Black Hole or one of the, or like Tron, like one of those like 70s Disney live action movies.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. And there was a lot of potential in this episode mm-hmm. that was wasted, in my humble opinion, that we can talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one where it was like, how cool would it be if like Madame Web pops through her head through one of these portals,
mm-hmm.
or like mm-hmm. Doctor Strange is waiting in one of those or something like.
Sure.
You're messing with time. You're messing with portals. You're messing with the multiverse. I would think when you're doing stuff like this,
right.
You know, I don't have a time dimension portal maker of my own, but I'm assuming you're kind of playing with fire if you.
I would
start
think so.
Messing with them. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I did really like how they did that. I actually did eventually grow to like the spot. Mm-hmm. I didn't at first. And again, you asked me to tell you things I liked and I'm just telling things I didn't like. I thought the spot would have been cooler if it was like a thing, not a person. Uh-huh. Like the blob. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
we had something like Swarm.
Right.
Something like that in Spidey 81. And I was kind of hoping it was that because the very first time we see the TDP, it's up by the roller coaster and Spider-Man like uses the webs and pulls them back. That whole scene was cool. That was something mm-hmm. I liked,
mm-hmm.
but I was like, interesting if that is the threat this week, those portals.
Yeah.
So I liked that mystery at first while we were trying to figure out what the portals were. So was the spot, Mr. Spot.
It's just the,
Is it the? I can call him though. I guess we're mm-hmm. close enough.
We've been talking about him long enough now. Yeah,
I did like Dr. Connors coming back. Mm-hmm. I did like that Spider-Man used science and made Dr. Connors proud in the scene. It's near like the halfway point where he's like trying to figure out how to get the portal. Spider-Man's like trying to figure out how to like find the portals.
How to track the spot.
That's
yeah.
what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I liked that quite a bit too. So
gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I didn't hate this episode, but there was a lot more about it for me to gripe about than to like, unfortunately. Mm. You kind of seem to have the opposite.
I felt like the exact opposite. Like,
but did we like the same things? Like, did you like those things I mentioned?
We liked most of the same things, I think. Okay. We both thought it was a decent episode. I had more things I liked. Where you had more things you disliked.
Yes.
No, I liked. I really liked the way that the spot was not a villain of the week. He was never threatening. He was never the worst thing he did was he robbed a bank, and he did it.
Yeah.
He did it very
bad.
He did it very innocently and like kind of naively, and it's like the only reason he even did it was because he could, and he he needed money. Right,
he needed money. Yeah. And he was very sloppy. Like he took way too much money. He had just like bags and bags,
bags
of
cash.
He didn't
need
that much.
So you know, so he was a scientist who was really just very interested in his research. Mm-hmm. He gets inundated with this unexpected power, and then he's got to figure out what to do with it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even when he gets thrown out by Stark at the beginning, and he ends up going in with Kingpin, he's not like, he's upset, but it's not like he's going to get vengeance on Tony Stark or something.
He doesn't have the wah ha ha ha.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, that really sucks. Now what am I going to do? And even when Kingpin is like, I got all the money you need, it's just you got to make me cash. He's like, is that really what I want to do? You know, he's...
right, he's, money.
He's a man of science. I liked that about him.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. I can see that, yeah. And integrity for the most part.
I liked the portal stuff, in, especially at the beginning, kind of like you did, where, and I said, even as I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, this is weird. And in a positive way, where I was like, oh, this is not... like this is not something that usually happens in Spider-Man. You know, I was like, oh, this is different. These are, and the same scene where Spider-Man is going through those portals and stuff, and I'm like, how is this gonna, you know, where is he gonna pop up? What's gonna happen here? That's one thing that I will say, I guess, was a little disappointing, is that all of the portals were just in New York.
He
didn't really take you anywhere else.
The animators were like, we can't even draw Boston, so let's just stick to our lane. Yeah, New York is a big city, though, Jason.
Yeah,
so,
In the span
of this episode, I guess he didn't even realize he could go beyond the borders. Mm-hmm, but yeah, good call.
So one of the and like I was saying, it's just the character was interesting to me, and so I liked the way that the sacrifice of the of Owen and Lopez just kind of I thought it was a nice way to finish off those characters, and just it also really sort of made the whole episode then to me really compact, self-contained. We don't usually meet characters on this show and then immediately get rid of them for good, you know,
for good.
Those two are not coming back.
Right. There's no doubt about it. They're done.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They made the ultimate sacrifice. Yeah.
And so while I agree with you that their love story is just, you know, whatever, it's absurdly fast and a little bit ridiculous. I liked the way that it concluded. And I liked that it was neat and tidy. In that respect.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And it packs more of an emotional punch if these characters are connected and they have to sacrifice themselves together other than just, you know, lab partners.
Thinking back to what I was saying, you know, I like Owen being like this man of science who just kind of ends up in over his head a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he reminded me of? Another character from a previous series that I really liked.
Oh,
can you think of who I'm thinking of?
I can't think of his name. The guy from Amazing Friends, where he got the magic thing. He had like he could wish for anything.
Oh,
what was his name?
I really like him too, but that's not it.
The one you wrote a dissertation on.
Yes, but the one who I'm thinking of is Francis Bite, who was in the third iteration of Video Man.
That's right, Video Man. Yeah.
And you know, if Francis, if you remember, he was a kid playing video games, and he kind of gets, there was a storm or something, and he gets zapped and turned into Video Man.
Yeah, he gets sucked into the game.
And so it wasn't, you know, it doesn't remind me of Francis like, oh, you know, he's a kid who gets superpowers. But it was like both Francis and Owen, they get inundated with a lot of power all of a sudden that they're really not equipped to deal with correctly. And neither one of them goes off the deep end and turns into a villain. They still have quite a bit of humanity inside of them where they want to do kind of the same things they were doing, but can't figure out how to integrate this new power that they have, right?
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's a good parallel.
And And
doesn't
and,
necessarily make them a villain.
Right, right. And then, and of course, then, you know, it's a Spider-Man show. So Spider-Man helps both of those characters ultimately and leads them along and helps them to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's what I found appealing about him. When I did a little bit of a, not deep dive, but, a, you know, a little bit digging more into the canonical background of the character, I actually like the canonical spot less than I like than I like the version in this show, because the one in the comics is like absolutely definitely a villain pretty much all the time, sometimes a little bit nuts as well. And I don't know, the way that they did this character was very appealing to me, and I didn't realize until I was ruminating on it a while that it's that Video Man parallel, you know, where that type of character, I have a lot of sympathy for that guy.
And you did for Mr. Frump too.
Yes. For Frump. Yes. God. Yeah. Yes.
He's Frump. Fantastic. That Mr. Frump. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. You know, the irony while we're talking about, that spot, is not really a villain. Mm-hmm. This is the only person, only good or bad or in between thing that I've seen Spider-Man directly punch in a while.
Mm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
He goes through a portal and punches him.
Yes, he did. He did.
And I think that gave it a little bit more humanity, like you were talking about, Jason, because he's not a villain. He's not strong. He couldn't stand up to Kingpin without Spider-Man's help.
Mm-hmm,
and then Spider-Man just cold cocks him.
Right.
I mean, through a portal, through a TDP, no less, but he still does it.
Right, right.
I just thought that, you know, like, of all the people he could have punched,
mm-hmm.
he has to punch the one schmo that's just a normal guy, you know, the sad sack that's in over his head.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting in your talk of it there.
Things.
You want to talk about love?
yes. I do want to talk about love. I'll lead into that with things that I didn't like.
Okay.
That very zippy love story that we've been talking about.
Yep.
That was on my list of things I didn't like, and I want to be clear that I am not mad, Brian. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, which is worse, right? That's like the worst thing your parents could say to you as a kid.
Not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Just disappointed. Yeah.
And the thing is, I think because Own appealed to me as fast as the love story was, it rang as genuine to me that they were both really interested in pursuing this technology. And there's a scene where Lopez is talking to Fisk on the thing and she's like ratting him out, you know, you know, he's the one who can do the spots without any of the gizmos or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, you stabbed me in the back. And she's like, well, the thing is, he's this guy who's called the Kingpin. And her motivation there, she reveals in that little scene, is not that she was trying to double cross him. She's like, look, you can't take him on. You're going to get hurt.
Right, right, right.
If you try to do this, I'm just trying to save your life.
Right, right. Basically. You don't want to mess with this guy. Right.
And so anyway, their relationship, while very fast, struck me as genuine. And I wished that we could have more time with the characters. Not that it's necessary, but just like that's what I was thinking about as this was going on. I was like, it would kind of be interesting to watch this develop.
To watch it bloom a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit more. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I understand. Mm-hmm. So of the three, there are three love stories in and we could even go I could go so far as four if we want to count Felicia and Spider-Man, but I'm not going to.
Well, I think Felicia and Spider-Man and what's his name? Jason.
Jason.
Jason, what was it again? Peters?
It's not Voorhees. I don't know.
No, it's not Voorhees.
Or Bach.
It wasn't any of those. but yeah, there's a couple of triangles there, right? Or something. I don't know what shape Felicia's relationship is.
I don't either. I think it's like a variant depending upon like the day of the week. But we'll talk about that one first because we met Jason briefly, right? In a couple of episodes ago when basically Spider-Man said, I'm not interested the first time.
Yeah. Yeah.
She ran into Jason's arms. They're at that carnival where the TDP shows up on top of the roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, everywhere I go, I see goblins and spiders. I can't escape spiders. Right. Like he's kind of the Indiana Jones of this love story. It was, why did it have to be spiders?
It was something. It was something where the last time we saw him, he was dropping Felicia off at her house, I think, after they had been out on a date, and she was playing all coy at that time about who she was, holding a candle for or whatever.
Right.
And so clearly, in the interim here, it seems like they've had a more full disclosure conversation about that, because he is definitely insinuating that she is hung up on Spider-Man still.
Right. And she makes it clear when he shows up later, like right in front of him, she's like, oh, Spider-Man, I've missed you.
Right. Like,
and the guy's like, come on!
This is right after.
I popped a balloon for
this
you.
This is right after Jason Voorhees proposes to her.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
He's given her a diamond ring, and then she's like, "Spider-Man, you haven't called me in weeks."
Yeah, I know. Like, are we fighting? What's going on? And she says what every man or woman or whoever proposes to a woman wants to hear. Uh-huh. Right. He says, "This ring is for you." Jason Voorhees says, "We'll just call him that."
Yeah.
This ring is for you. Will you marry me? And she goes, "Oh, you're so sweet."
Oh.
The best reaction. Yes? You will marry me?
Oh, bless your heart. That would be worse. That would be even worse, right?
Bless your heart. Oh, look at you. You bought a ring.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Isn't that something? Yeah. But yeah, then Spider-Man shows up. And
gosh.
But Jason and Felicia do end up together, right?
It seems like it. I don't know. It's tough to say exactly where they left things, because at the jewelry store, Spider-Man webs away again, kind of leaving her high and dry, going, look, it ain't gonna work out.
Yeah,
Felicia,
listen, dame. Yeah.
I think he says that he cares about her or something like that.
He tries to couch it
yeah, in this I don't want you to be in danger her. Kind of
right.
He
gave her the equivalent of, I don't want to ruin our friendship.
Right.
The base kind of same kind of thing. Yeah. So that whole relationship felt, again, rushed, because, you know, you go to like the carnival with a pretty lady, a girl on your side. That's like date three or four, right? Wouldn't you say?
Depending on the season, but yes. Yeah.
That's not like someone who's been courting for years, right? Because that proposal felt like out of nowhere to me. Like,
yeah, he seems like he is trying real hard to just put a ring on it before Spider-Man has a chance to get in his way, basically.
And the cynic in me thought they only did this scene just so that they can be at a jewelry store, because that's where everybody's going to kind of end up. That's where they have to be. And the writers were like, what do we do to get Jason and Felicia in a jewelry store? He's going to propose? Yeah, sure. Sounds good. They went to the carnival. That's the next step. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that whole thing was rushed. And then we had the big one that I would use the phrase, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed, Jason, for Mary Jane and Peter Parker, because I was so excited to see them on a date together, and that we had some progression. We even saw Harry Osborn for a hot second. And said, are you happy, Spidey? Best friends, huh? You stole my girl. And then he was all right, see you later. That was this whole, like, interaction with Peter.
Harry seemed a little out of sorts in that interaction, wouldn't you say? Like, he's... Mm. Yeah, I don't know if
that's something to do with Hobgoblin.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Yeah. I don't know, man. He's got... There's some possible crazies turning, I think, in Harry's head. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. But we got all that, and I was excited for it. And then again, it was Spider-Man, or Peter Parker kept leaving to become Spider-Man and leaving Mary Jane alone on their dates, and she grumbles about it. And then, like we said, at the end, he's like, I'm not going to do that anymore. And she said, that's good, because I love you. Again, ouch, like my head hurts from the whiplash.
Yeah, well, and the thing that bothered me the most about it was there was that interim scene with MJ, Liz, and Peter do a walk and talk where MJ does the, you know, super mature thing where Peter is standing right next to her talking to her.
Oh, yeah, I love this.
And she goes and she says to Liz, tell Peter that I don't want to talk to him, and that it's rude for him to keep bailing on me on dates.
And he's a duty head. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Liz is like, Peter, MJ said, I heard her.
Yeah. That was the best part, was Peter going, I heard. Yeah. Like, I'm shutting this down right here. I've seen enough cartoons and sitcoms in my life. So I know how this goes.
So yeah. There was that where it felt like, again, Peter's back at square one with MJ.
Exactly.
And then it was like 5 minutes later where she's like, and I think, I don't know if you missed this detail or just didn't remember it. He says, I'm not going to, I'm not going to
run away anymore.
Be bailing out on you anymore. She says something like, that won't happen. That wouldn't be like you. But the thing is, I love you. You know, she's like, I know you do that, but I love you.
Right. Because I love you. There were two like non-connected thoughts mm-hmm, that they mm-hmm. tried to put together. Yeah.
And so, it is very, very whiplashy. And, you know, it's, Brian, you and I both have in our lives here, we're getting old.
What?
And we've both had, multiple relationships prior mm-hmm. to our marriages with women of varying sorts of stripes. And
that
I'm
is
just
a true statement.
And I'm just thinking to myself, maybe MJ is just one of these people where it's just you're on this emotional roller coaster, man.
Right.
Where it's
right.
like
it's,
the
it's
little
toxic kind of yeah.
The littlest thing is going to make her not want to talk to you, and then the next day she's just going to tell you how much she loves you.
How much she loves you, and then you'll be like, well, that came out of nowhere, but I'll take it. And
then
you go along with that for a while, then she's like, but you also left the milk carton open in the fridge, so I think you hate me.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. Not that and I I'm speak like, from experience. As a mid-40s person, Jason, it just exhausts me. Yeah. Like, just thinking about it, I'm like, I need to lay down.
It really does. It really does. So, all this to say, the whiplash might be part of the MJ experience.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. But
and
if
the fathers have sinned against her too, so we don't really, we can't, falter too much. But yeah, I just felt like all of the love stuff had potential in this episode.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And except for the Felicia Jason, I didn't really care about that one. You know, it mm-hmm. was just two very strong missed opportunities for me.
Yeah,
the B stories there. So yeah.
It did feel like the relationship development stuff with Peter and then the rapid ascent of Jason Voorhees with Felicia. That all seemed like it was just sort of tangential and sort of background to the rest of the story, right? It was like we got a little bit more time to squeeze these things in here. We're gonna move this along so that we've kind of planted a stake along the along the path, and we can we can keep moving then.
We got these mile markers to go to.
I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is I'm not surprised that those interactions were relatively brief.
And I felt like they wanted all this just to be a single episode, so mm-hmm. they couldn't leave mm-hmm. too many things unresolved, which they didn't. And the one thing that they didn't leave resolved was a very strong cliffhanger, enough that we would want, if we were watching this in real time, to watch the next week's episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about anything else in a housekeeping respect. And I want to begin with what I can only say, Brian, was the single worst moment of CG animation in the series thus far. Yeah. Was it as jarring to you? Because, like, for a second, I seriously, I mean, it was a split second. You know how thoughts happen in your brain, right?
I do.
And
then
the neurons fire, and you think of something, and it's a very fleeting, passing thought. But when Spider-Man was standing, I think he was either on or near the Statue of Liberty. And he's mm-hmm. talking about, I forget if he was talking about how he was thinking he was going to try to track the spot or whatever. And then mm-hmm. they cut to this CG boat. And it starts with like a close-up on a boat.
This was jarring to me, yes.
And for a split second, I was like, did something happen to my TV?
is this the 4K going out?
And I was like, oh no, oh God, no, it's not my TV. This is the picture in this show.
Yeah.
It was like something getting beamed out of Wolfenstein 3D from
From Super Nintendo or Nintendo, whatever that was.
Oh, from PC. From the PC game, like in the late 80s. Like it was horrible.
I felt like everything on the Statue of Liberty looked really bad. Oh, like the scale looked off, mm-hmm. like when they were going down the Statue of Liberty, that all looked like bad. But yeah, the boat looked like from another thing that they copied and pasted into this.
It didn't fit at all, and it was weird. It was also just like, even if the boat had been well done, it was a weird shot to take, right? Like from a directing standpoint, it was like, why are you showing that boat? Like, I don't know.
And from the front. Yeah.
I might have cut to a wide shot of like Spider-Man standing next to the statue or something, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just bizarre. I know. Jarring and just awful.
Enough to put it in your notes, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine how awful it looked in 4K. Thank God I'm just in 2009 technology over here. It just looked somewhat jarring, not, you know, heart attack inducing jarring.
Yeah. So. Yeah. The other technical thing that I put in my notes was just the airplane scene
I'm
at
reading
the end.
Your notes. Yeah. Yeah.
So Kingpin is like, take this funny flying jet that I have. Okay. And Dr. Lopez is like, yep, I can pilot that. No problem. All right. So they fly up there. And they're like, okay, put her in hover.
yep, switching to hover.
Yep. Spot's like, I'm going down there. He's going down there.
Yep. Spot's out. I wouldn't. Spot out. Yeah.
But anyway, so the airplane hovers while they're standing next to the portal. And then he jumps out. And she, the driver, the pilot, the operator of the vehicle.
Right.
She jumps out.
Yeah.
Portal closes. Plane continues hovering. Right. Spider-Man's
still in hover mode.
Spider-Man's just like, huh, I guess they really loved each other.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I wish
I could find love like that.
and then I guess Spider-Man just takes it back to Kingpin's place. Like, what then what?
He flies it back, right? He goes off hover mode and lands it.
And he lands
it
at Kingpin's place and he's like, okay, Kingpin, I'm letting you off with a warning.
Yeah. Yeah, this is it. Here's a plane. You take care of this. But enough is enough, sir.
It was just a weird. It was a weird setup for that scene. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know how else they would have done it, having to fly way up in the sky like that. But
right, exactly.
I guess they could have put the mystery portal like down in the sewer. But it seems like they've done so much stuff in sewers on this show. I don't know.
Maybe planes in this universe are like boats where you can drop anchor. You just go into hover mode and you just like chill as long as you want. Right. Yeah. Nobody has to fly. Let's all take a nap. We're in hover mode for a while. Let's just stay here for the night. Yeah, I didn't think too much about it, but I did think about the fact that, it somehow ended up, you know, back at
Kingpin.
Well, Spider-Man ended up back at Kingpin's place, so, yeah.
Right, he must have. We don't see, I mean, that scene ends and then...
He doesn't fly the plane black.
And then I think the next scene is Peter walking to meet MJ. So, like, we don't even know exactly what happened there, but it should be assumed that the plane landed somewhere. You know, I don't think Spider-Man sky dove from that far and then webbed his way down.
I don't. That was pretty high up there to hover.
It was pretty high. So anyway, that is just little weird annoyances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And were you disappointed that we didn't see really any reference to Sins of the Fathers, except for the end, which we'll bring it up again at the end? But we didn't get Madame Web. Mm-hmm. We didn't get any of the other things that they've planted seeds for. That, I think, might have disappointed me the most about this episode. Mm-hmm. Because, again, just give us a second of Madame Web, and then I'm bumping my rating up. Did you notice that or no?
I did notice it. It didn't bother me. I think the way I said it in my notes is that it felt like this was a nice sort of self-contained episode to kind of catch your breath between these big two-parters. And so it really didn't bother me. Like seeing Hobgoblin and having that lead into the finale, that was enough for me. You know who his plant is in Kingpin's organization? It's Kingpin's son.
Oh, it has to be because we didn't see him at all. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We haven't seen him lately. Did he end up in jail? I think he ended up going to jail, right? Didn't they lock him up for...
I don't remember. So much happened in the Venom and Carnage episodes. Mm-hmm. Or no, was that Venom and Carnage? No, it was a while ago. That
it was a while back, but...
Right.
But I think they locked him up. He's got to be the guy. He's got to be the guy.
More likely than Langdon?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
All right.
Because that ties into father sinning.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Right.
That's true. He's going to point fingers in the next
parental
episode
sins.
And say, my father's been sinning this whole time.
Yeah.
I've listened back to one of our older episodes now, and mm-hmm. you hypothesized that the sins of the fathers could be also in reference to Peter Parker's parents. And I still am holding out hope for that, we're going to get more about that. I feel that...
I don't think it's coming in the two-parter to close this out.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say,
it's
I don't feel that
too
that's going
to...
I think a lot has
to bite off,
I think a lot has to happen that's already been planted,
and
will have to be resolved in these next two episodes instead of bringing in whole new ideas.
Yeah.
So
Does... I will say, as we're on the precipice now of the finale... for season three. This has been a more sort of free-flowing and wide-open story than season two was, the Neogenic Nightmare. The Neogenic Nightmare was relatively narrow and focused on
Spidey's
mutation problems and the things that were related to that. Everything was kind of all about that. This has been... You kind of have to feel around and speculate on where things exactly are going to tie together and who's going to be most important in the end here.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how it's going to end up and what I'm hoping that it'll be a satisfying sort of conclusion to the arc, but I think they've got a lot of work to do if they want to do that.
Yeah. And not a whole lot of time to
not
do
much
it.
Much time.
I mean, just two
about
episodes,
40
right.
minutes. Yeah.
Exactly.
About
and
40
with the with the recap, it's going to be more like 35.
Yeah. So,
we'll
see what happens, man.
It's hard to judge an episode like this by itself because of it being part of a bigger story. But I think even if it was connected better in this season, I still would have disliked it. I didn't care for this one very much at all. But it's okay.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Give me
your Spidey rating, pal.
I think the lowest one of the season so far. I gave it 2.5 radioactive spiders.
Wow.
I'm severely disappointed
in
the quote unquote person, not villain of the week, and the love stories and just the general feel of it. I just felt it was just kind of a big shrug.
Gotcha.
I didn't hate it. I just kind of am indifferent to it. Yeah.
The things in here and like we said at the jump, we kind of felt sort of the same, but just on opposite sides of it. Where it was okay. You really didn't like it. I thought it was okay. I pretty much liked it.
right.
The things that bugged me, they were just annoyances that I didn't have deal breakers in this for me. Mm-hmm. If all the things that I was picking about and didn't care for, if all of those had been repaired, I would give this a glowing rating. As things are,
okay,
I'm gonna give it a 3.5. I thought it was
okay.
I thought it was pretty good. I liked the Dr. Own character. I liked the things that happened for the most part. The stuff that was troubling, I kind of give him a pass for time and call it what it is.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm excited to watch the next two. I am certainly hoping that it'll make some headway, but I mean, not giving anything away, we got Goblin War and Turning Point. So those are like, what could the Turning Point be? And do we get both the Hob and the Green Goblin?
Oh, perhaps. If there's a Goblin War, I'm hoping for a minimum of two goblins.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You can't have a war with only one goblin.
Exactly.
I think Chekhov said that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds right. Pavel Chekhov, right?
Oh, exactly. Pavel. Yes, exactly. Yeah. His brother. Tom's brother. Yes. The lesser of the Chekhovs.
All right, man. Well, let's do that next time then.
Thanks for listening to Spider-Man and his amazing fans. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app. Follow us on Instagram at Spidey's Amazing Fans. You can reach us by email, SpideyFansPodcast@gmail.com. Our cover art was created by Rob Momartz. Follow him on Instagram to see his latest work. Remember, if you enjoyed it, share with a friend.